text for the Church of the Living God is coming from 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 15. It says, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the Church of the Living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In Matthew chapter number 16 and 18, he says, And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, on last week, we started the section on the church is purchased by the blood of Jesus. And we were looking in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, I believe. It says, Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And as we was sharing on last week, notice the wording there, as it says that to feed the church of God, which he, in other words, it was, this was God's blood. It wasn't a Jesus is not a representative of God. He is God himself. This is God's blood that was shed to purchase the church, or purchase you and I. And when you're looking at Matthew chapter number 26 and 28, let's go there really quick, and then someone go over to Hebrews chapter number 9, starting at verse number 12. Matthew chapter number, 26 and verse 28.
It means, but this is my blood.
Yes. Now, remember, this is the time where Jesus ate his last meal with the disciples. And during that meal, he took the bread and he took the cup. He said the bread, he broke that bread, the loaf, into pieces. And he gave each one of his disciples a piece of that loaf. And he said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Now, remember the symbolism there. Now, if you think about the loaf, it was once one whole piece. And he broke that whole piece, broke the whole into little pieces, and gave each one of the disciples a piece of it. So is what he's saying is, if you all come back together, if you put all of those pieces back together, you'll have that whole, right? So he's saying, this bread represents my body. He says, my body, you are all members of what? One body. You're many members. You're many pieces. But you're all a part of what? One body. And he says, of that body, I am the head. Jesus says that. Jesus says, I am the head of the body. And he says, then he goes on, he says, when he takes the cup, he's gives each one, every one of them to sip out of the cup. He said, now this cup, the wine represents the blood that I shed, or that I am going to shed on Calvary. Why is Jesus going to shed that blood? He already told you in the book of Acts. He said, to purchase you. Purchase you from what? Why do I need to be purchased? Well, we were sold to sin. When Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, the fruit that Jesus told them not to eat of. He told them, the day that you eat of that fruit, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt do what? He told them that the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. So when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, they sold their soul to sin. They sold themselves over to sin. Therefore, sin's wage is what? Death. The wage of sin is death. They sold their souls over to sin, which goes right back to what Jesus said. The day that you eat of that fruit, thou shalt do what? Surely die. You shall surely die. Well, in order for us to get from up under that agreement where we were sold to sin, it took Jesus to do what? Purchase us. In other words, he uses that word redeem. In other words, redeem means to buy us back. Buy us back from what? Buy us back where one sold your soul to sin. Jesus said, I'm going to buy you back. This is a beautiful thought, isn't it? When the Lord, you had no control. You know, it is though the souls of men were embedded within Adam and telling him, don't do it. Don't do it. And by him doing it, it brought death on who? Everybody. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, all of the souls of people that were coming after Adam were begging him not to do it. We didn't even know that we were begging him not to do it. Generation after generation was embedded in Adam and Eve, because they're the first parents of the human race, begging him not to eat of that fruit. How do you know they were begging him? Because the Lord told him, do not eat of it. You're going to curse everyone that comes after you. Seemed like a simple act, and it seems like it was only going to affect him, but then he realized it did not just affect him. He went on and had children, and he had to sit there as a parent and watch his son kill his other son. Now, what you can think of the thing that go on in a parent's mind, but it was all because of sin. It's all because of sin. The wage of it is what? Death. Wage of sin is death. We were sold to sin. And it took God himself, only one after Adam, to endure the pains of death, the pains of sin. Sin just doesn't say, oh, the wage of it is death, but something go along with it. All of the bitterness and the hatred and the rejection and the loneliness. All that you read in the Old Testament about different ones dealing with the effects of sin and how it can impact your life and the quality of your life. Only one could endure all of that. That's why the writer said we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. But he was in all points tempted, just like you and I. But he did not do what? He did not sin. Now, we know that no one could live that kind of life but God himself. Why? Because we were all born in sin. And we found ourselves doing things that we necessarily didn't want to do. Going down paths we necessarily didn't want to choose. Gone over this lesson several times. I said, if you could go back over your life and do things over, you would make some different choices. You would make a whole lot of different choices. Average person, when they start off their days, they have great dreams, great aspirations. They have great, lavish ideas. I'm going to do this. You ask the average child, you look at them and say, what are you going to do? I'm going to the moon. I'm going to do this. And then they find them 20, 30 years later. You ask them, what happened to the trip to the moon? Where did you get off track? Where did you lose your focus? And each one will say, well, this happened, that happened. I made this choice, got myself involved in this. It was the work. I just realized it was all that hard work. And I just couldn't understand it wasn't worth it. But you didn't start off that way. In other words, sin robs you from all of you desiring to be. Everything that you desire to be, sin tries to pull you back and say, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know you're not fit. You're not qualified to do that. You're not smart enough to do that. Nobody's going to help you do this and help you do that. Sin does all of that. But Jesus gives you hope. Jesus gives you hope. In the midst of it all, even when he was pronouncing the judgment on Adam and Eve, he still gave hope. He said, the serpent was going to bruise my heel, but I'm going to bruise that serpent's head. That's hope. In the midst of all of the conflict, Jesus was letting you know he was going to have to go through something. In other words, the serpent, he said, is going to bruise my heel. He was going to have to go through something, but it was not going to be fatal. It wasn't going to be an end. It wasn't going to be, you say, well, no more after that. He said, it's going to hurt. It is going to hurt. It's going to be painful. But at the end of the day, I'm going to bruise that serpent's head. In other words, I'm going to destroy him. That's the truth. That's the truth. Jesus is going to destroy Satan. He's going to destroy everything that Satan stands for. Jesus is going to take death. He's going to take sin, and he's going to put it in a place of complete destruction. He said, I created it. a place for sin and death. It's called the lake of fire. And in that lake, sin and death is going to burn forever and ever. Everything that represents sin, everything that represents death is going to burn forever and ever. Then you and I got a choice. That's what Ezekiel asked you a question. Why will you die? Why will you go to that place when the Lord has given you an opportunity to live? He had put you in a place, in a position where he has purchased you. He has redeemed you. Redeemed you by his what? By his blood. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Nobody bought you from sin with money. But he bought you from sin with his own blood. Not the blood of another representative, but his own blood. God formed himself a body. He got into that body and he endured everything that went along with sin. Yes, he did. He endured everything that went along with sin from day one. Huh? Day one. He endured everything that went along with sin. You think about even when he was born. He wasn't born in a house. He was born in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Huh? Come on. You think about that? That's not the place that the average person wants to be born. That's not the place where people want to have birth at. You know, who wants to give birth as a human in the same place that an animal does? But you say, well, why did he do that? Because he was trying to show you the pains of sin. Sin is nothing pretty to look at. Sin is nothing pretty to deal with. And even after he was born, here you had the government against him. Government said, kill every child from 2 years and under. Huh? Now here the mother and the father, we go around and say, oh, look at the pretty baby. They didn't have time to do that. Why? Because death was after them. Huh? Death was chasing them. That's the truth. So you got all people just killed. All the little babies dying. Huh? And here they trying to escape. Jesus is trying to show you the pains of death. The effects of sin. Huh? What it is like to be rejected. Huh? What it is like to be rejected. Then you see the Lord, his parents didn't know what was going on. Lord allowed these three astrologers to come and find him in the house and give gold, myrrh and frankincense. And it was all to finance that trip, to finance their escape. Huh? I'm sure they thought they didn't have to leave, but they were just like me and you, just like us. You think, you say, well, I had to move and move and move, and just because I couldn't afford this place, I had to move and go to that place. Jesus had to do the same thing. So you go through the same. He's trying to let you see the effects of sin. Sin is nothing pretty to look at. When it has its way, it's nothing pretty to look at. But as you say, when you start off the day, you're going to say, well, I'm going to be in the house and I'm going to be there for the rest of my life. I'm going to build this beautiful home and I'm going to just be there all my days. That's not how it works. Huh? That's not how it works. Sin tries to do what? Rob you. Rob you of all those things that you desire. And if Jesus went through all of these things to show you the effects of sin. Huh? His own countrymen, his own people didn't want anything to do with him. They wanted to, every time Jesus started teaching and talking, they were always trying to throw rocks at him. Every time he would try to tell them what thus saith the Lord, they were constantly trying to stone him. And he would always have to find, you see what the scriptures say, he moved around the crowd to find a little escape route. Well, what was he trying to run away from? Well, if he's God, why was he trying to run away from death? He wasn't running away from death. He said the time wasn't here yet. And that wasn't the way that he was going to leave here. He had that whole thing planned out. But he was still trying to let you know when you're dealing with sin, it's painful. It's nothing fun about sin. Even though the world try to show you that sin is so fun, when sin get through with them, it's nothing fun about it. Robs them from their potential. Huh? Then he asked this one, follow me, follow me, follow me. Now, we only got the scriptures with the ones that selected him, but those weren't the only ones he asked to follow him. Those aren't the only ones he has to follow. How do you know those aren't the only ones they'll discover? Because the scripture declared that all of these groups and masses of people started coming, started telling them what it was going to take in order for them to inherit eternal life. And none of them realized they were meeting them up. And he stopped. He stopped doing the miracles. And soon as he stopped doing the miracles, people turned their back on Jesus. Turned their back and started leaving him. And he looked at the few that was left and said, are you two going to leave me? Huh? Now, you know that's not a good feeling. Here you are doing all these wonderful things for all these people, feeding them when they're hungry, touching their bodies when they're sick, all these wonderful, miraculous things. Jesus was doing all this for them, but when he stopped it, that's when the folk didn't want no more to do with him. Huh? That's a hurtful thing. A hurtful thing to be dealing with. You in your mind, you think, I'm doing all this good stuff for people, and these people don't even want to be bothered with me no more. They don't even want to hang around me no more. Only reason they want to be with me is see what they can get out of it. And when I ain't giving them nothing else, they don't want nothing to do with me. I'm trying to help you to understand sin is painful. Sin is not a fun thing to deal with. Painful. Then when you look at him dealing with his core group of disciples, he took them, fed them, and then he washed their feet. Something very low. That was a job for the servants. People would have the servants wash the people's feet when they came into their home. Sense of hospitality. Let them know that you're welcome. You're one with us. And you say, and if the gesture was really heartfelt, he wouldn't get a servant to do it. The owner of the home would go and do it themselves. But if they were just going through the formalities, they say, get the servants. The bond servant. Bond servant that's meaningless. Huh? That doesn't, you don't let them speak. You don't let them do anything but do the things that you don't want to do. Right? Bond servants. You don't pay them hardly nothing because the only thing they're doing is trying to work off of a debt. Huh? That's the bond servant. Jesus says, I'm going to take the role of a bond servant. Take the role of a bond servant, and I'm going to lower myself down to the earth and wash your dirty feet. Huh? Wash your dirty feet. Huh? Peter got to me. Peter said, I don't know what you're doing. You call yourself my Lord. I've seen you do all these mighty things. You will never wash my feet. He thought he was saying something. He thought he was trying to give Jesus honor. But that wasn't the kind of honor Jesus was looking for. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Huh? How you know Peter's heart was far from him? Because Peter had violence in him. Huh? And the Lord had to show Peter just how violent he was. Come on, you know that fella. He had an attitude of rejecting Jesus. Huh? When things got difficult, he had an attitude of rejecting Jesus. Do you know him? No, I don't know him. I saw you with him. I don't know the man. I was not with him. Huh? Didn't the cock crew, he saw the God change, and he realized the Lord is true to his word. But that wasn't enough to make that brother repent. Even when the soldiers came to take Jesus, Peter was the one that drew the sword. Peter was the one that brought the sword up, and violence was inside of Peter. Even though the Lord had already told him the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Peter was trying to live out that way. But Jesus said, it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You don't have to fight for it. I'll give it to you, right? You don't have to be violent to take what the Lord has in store for you. Huh? I know that's what the songs be saying. The violent, take it by force. Take it by force. But that's not what the Lord was saying. He's trying to tell you the violent do that. The violent take control by force. We are not the violent. The Lord didn't call you to be violent. He called you to be meek as doves. Huh? Wise as a serpent, but meek as doves, right? And he told you the meek are the ones that are going to inherit the earth. Not the violent. Huh? When you go back with Jesus, when the heavens are not filled with violence. The heavens are filled with praise. Huh? Lord done told you no dog and unclean thing is going to get in here. Huh? He's going to keep the doors open. Well, why would the Lord be able to keep the doors open? Because he's going to put all of death in hell. He's going to put everything that is associated with death in hell. Huh? That's why we got to be careful how we govern ourselves. Yes, when you have family members that come your way, they say they want this kind of help and that kind of help, and you try to offer them the help that only Jesus could give them, and they say they don't want that, you have to stand flat-footed and say, I don't want no part of what you're doing. Why? Because you're trying to be violent. Huh? And that's not who Jesus called me to be. He said, well, all you want to do is pray. That's all I know to do is fast and pray. Jesus said, some things come forth no other way, but by what? Fasting and praying. That's how he endured the cross. His flesh did not want to do it, but because he fasted and prayed, he brought the flesh under subjection, right? He bought the flesh. God himself bought the flesh under subjection. And if he had to bring the flesh under subjection, what about you? You got to bring your flesh under subjection. How do you do it? Through what? Fasting and praying, right? That's the truth. So when it's time to go through, you can go through. Huh? When the Lord had to go through, he went through. Remember, he endured everything that was associated with sin. Huh? As I said, his core group, even when they turned their back on him, one brother said, you'll never wash my feet. Lord had to look at that brother. Very one he knew was going to preach the very first sermon. The Lord had trust. Trust in his will was not going to fail. Huh? Trust that the Lord's will is not going to fail. It will endure. The Lord had to look at that brother and trust that his will was going to be performed. And say with that same brother that he was dependent on to preach that very first message. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. He had to trust his will to look that brother in the face and say, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me, right? Huh? Somebody say, well, why would the Lord say such a thing? Certainly you don't want to turn people against you. But he had to trust his will. He had to trust the fulfillment of his will. He was trying to let heavens know that even when people do things that are not according to the Lord's will, you stand for truth. You stand for truth even when it looked like you're going to lose. Even when it looked like people are going to turn their back on you. You stand for truth. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, we had to go through that even within our own little group. Our own little church. We had to stand for truth. No matter how folk try to slander our names, that people don't understand the things that we had to go through as church leaders and pastors and see people that you tarried with, people that you prayed through things, turn their back on you and say, oh, man of evil against you. But we still had to stand flat-footed and say, this is what Jesus said. This is truth. And you had to love them in spite of them not loving you. Huh? Had to stand for truth. Huh? You had to trust that the Lord knows how to bring them back. Huh? The Lord knows how to bring people back. He says, my word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish everything that I sent forth for it to accomplish. He is the one that said, let it be light, and there was light. Huh? That's the truth. He is the one that said, let dry land appear. And the dry land appear. He is the one that said, let the earth bring forth fruit of its kind. And these things happen. He is the one that said, let it be a firmament in the midst of the heavens. And in the midst of the sea. He's the one that said that all by his word. That lets you know his word do not fail. You need to hold Jesus to his word. You're going to stand on anything. Stand on his word, right? Stand on what his word says. That's why he was able to look at Peter and say, when Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. The Lord was able to look at him and say, if I don't wash your feet, hey, you have no part of me. Huh? Some people would say, well, you ought not to talk like that to people. Why? Because if you talk like that to them, they may turn their back on you. But you got to trust the Lord's word. You got to trust Jesus' truth. You got to know that the truth will stand. Even when folk turn their backs on you, the truth will stand. And when the Lord spoke that word of truth, Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, huh? But my whole body. Wash me everywhere. Huh?
Oh, the Lord said, only he that is unclean needs to talk like this. Peter didn't have that understanding. He was unclean. Huh? But there was one in their midst that was rejecting that knowledge. A man by the name of Judas, whom the Lord still washed his feet. And when the Lord saw that there was no reasoning with him, he said, Satan has filled your heart. Whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly, right? And Judas left right out of there. And here comes back Judas again. Huh? Giving the Lord lip service. Huh? Comes up to Jesus. Huh? My master. Huh? Huh? Comes up to Jesus. Didn't just call him master, but he kissed him. Huh? The Lord allowed that deceitful person to kiss him. Huh? Come on. Everybody in our midst is not going to be true. I told you, you may be sitting by an unbeliever. You better know who you are. Huh? Know where you are at in the face. Huh? Because some people will come with a kiss Jesus in the face attitude. But they are full of the pure devil. Huh? And you got to ask the Lord Jesus, don't let my feet be shaken. But keep me steadfast and unmovable, right? Always about in his work. Huh? Huh? Need to ask the Lord to just keep me. Huh? Could have had them blinders on your eyes. Huh? Peter was talking a good thing. When the people were leaving Jesus, Peter said within himself, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have given us the word of life, right? But little did Peter know his words were going to be tested. They were going to be tried. Huh? And then here you get Jesus, huh, being led away from judgment hall to judgment hall. I'm talking about the pains of death, the pains of sin. People lying on him. Huh? Liar after liar coming before Jesus, yet he opened not his mouth. Huh? He didn't argue with them folk. He opened not his mouth. They spit on him. They slapped him. Took him from prison to prison. And then when he got before the last one, he said, don't you know I got the power to take and preserve your life? That's when Jesus opened up his mouth. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down freely. And I've got the power to raise it back up again. To this end was I born. And I might bear witness of truth. Pilate out of his own mouth said, I find in him no fault, right? Huh? That's what you want the world to say about you. When the world examines you, you want them to look you over and say, I found in him what no fault, right? That's when Jesus is in you, right? That's truth. I'm trying to tell you, the Lord will speak up for you. The Lord will do his part, but you got to stay faithful to him. You got to realize you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You were bought by the blood of Jesus. Huh? Lord took the time to shed his blood. He didn't die quickly. Huh? He did not die on that cross quickly. He suffered. Huh? They opened up his back with a whip. Huh? And blood came out. Huh? Come on, they took him and nailed him to a cross. And blood came out. Huh? They put a crown of thorns on his head and blood came out. Huh? They took a spear and pierced him in his side and blood came out. Jesus had no more blood left in his body. Huh? He suffocated to death. Huh? Suffocated to death. Huh? He told you how he felt. That's how you know he's God. He could tell you how he felt hundreds of years before he even experienced it. He said, my heart melts like wax. My tongue cleaves to the roof of my mouth. All that look at me shake their head in shame. Many bulls and heifers came and died before me. And they gave more respect to that animal's body than they did to my body. They hung me with thieves. They hung me with murderers, right? They gave more respect for the bulls and the heifers than they did for God's body, right? That's the truth. Come on, give me Hebrews chapter number 9. So I want you to understand this. He said, so Christ, what is it? What is 9 and 12?
Neither.
What did he use? God used his own blood. That was God's body that was up on that cross. That's when the Lord tells you you're in the church and he says, you are my body. He wants you to understand just how special you are. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should those that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not, as many of us as were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death, we are buried with him by what? You are his body. He cares for his body. I'm trying to tell you, the devil is trying to break the bones of the body. But Jesus would not allow his body. Do y'all understand that? They broke the other sacrifices, bones. But if David said not a bone of his was broken. I'm trying to tell you, the church got power. Church ain't going nowhere. Church got power. You just got to make sure you're in it. Lord said, I will not allow none of the bones of my body to be broken, right? Ain't that a beautiful thing? Once you in it, you in it. Once you in the church, you in it. It's just up to you to have a mind to stay there. But once you in it, you in it. He has purchased you with his blood. One writer told you, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. What price? His blood. You've been bought with a price. Read that scripture in Hebrews. I'm going to let y'all go.
Neither by the blood of goats.
Yes.
By his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
He entered in once into the holy place.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yes.
That's what one brother said. He said, Lord, what am I going to give you? If you desire sacrifices, I'll give them to you. Lord said, I don't want no more sacrifices. Heavens are filled with the sacrifices of blood of the bulls and the heifers. And these things, they were given for you to understand that sin has a price. Something had to die. Come on, when the Lord put coats of skin on Adam and Eve, something had to die. And it was all because of the choice. It was all because of the choice to choose something other than Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, whenever you have a choice that you've got to make in this life, you better make sure you choose Jesus. Even if it's the clothes on your back. Jesus, are you pleased with this? Even if it's the words that come out of your mouth. Jesus, are you pleased with what comes out of my lips? You've got to make a choice, right? You got to make a choice. You got to choose Jesus in all that you do. Come on. Heaven is filled. He said, no more. No more. Blood from goats and heifers and cows. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of seeing them sacrifices. Why? Because you kill it and you go back and do the sin some more. Come on. How many people are coming to the altar making the sacrifice? Killing it and going back and sinning some more. Jesus is sick of you. Jesus is sick of what you are offering him. You talk about you want to be saved. But the Lord says, I'm sick and tired of the sacrifice that you are offering. And I know that that's got to be the mind of Jesus right now. Why? Because folk are not coming through with the Holy Ghost. And when that mean ain't coming through, something is wrong with the sacrifice. Something is wrong with the sacrifice. You say, Elder Scudder, it must be you. Nope. Ain't nothing wrong with my sacrifice. Why? Because I feel Jesus. I feel him when I call him. He quickens my mortal body. He looses my tongue. I speak in other tongues as Jesus gives utterance. I've got joy in my soul. I love my enemies. Just like I love my friends, right? So ain't nothing wrong with my sacrifice. But something must be wrong with yours. Something got to be wrong with what you're putting on your altar. Every time you call his name, you're sopping up a bunch of spit. You're using a bunch of air. You're trying to kill it. You're jumping on it, but it's dead. Lord is sick of a dead sacrifice. He said, present your very body as a living. Lord wants you to be living. He wants you to live for him, right? Lord wants you to live for him. He wants you to be so convicted in your mind that you take Jesus with you. That's why you ain't got no Holy Ghost, because you ain't got no mind to take Jesus with you. You got to have a mind to take Jesus with you. With you with on your job, in your home, on the streets. You got to have a mind to take Jesus with you, right? That's true. You got to have a mind to take the Lord with you everywhere you go. Even when they ridicule you, even when they treat you mean, say all manner of things against you, you got to let the Jesus in you rise up. Jesus in you will tell you, keep your mouth shut. I said, I will take heed to my way, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is well. That's the Lord's word, right? And it's got to rise up. Even when it's your loved ones. If they ain't got no mind to be saved, you got to look at them and say, you are the wicked. And the Lord told me how to deal with you. He told me, keep my mouth shut, right? You ain't got nothing to prove to them. You owe your allegiance to Jesus. He is the one that died for you. What did verse 7 say, babe?
It says, but he, by his own blood, he entered into one.
How many times?
One time.
There's these multiple baptisms. Right. Every time you make mistakes, you want to go down in the water. But you not understanding what you're supposed to be doing when you go down in that water. Know ye not as many of us as were baptized unto Jesus were baptized unto his what? And he did not die multiple times. My God gave his life once. And that was enough, right? He died once. And that was enough. And you realize every time folk go down in that water, they are opening up the Lord's womb. You're opening up the Lord's womb. Every time you go down in that water, it is a sign that Jesus suffered, bled, and died for you. We rejoice. We say, thank you, Jesus. Another soul gone down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. But think about God himself. Every time he sees a soul go down in that water, he's thinking about the wound, that was opened up and the blood. Come on. He shed the blood for who? For you. That's why he told you when you go down in that water, come up. Walk in the water, the newness. Likewise, yet ye yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto Jesus, right? That's truth. You realize everything you did before you went down that water, it ought to bring shame to you. It ought to bring shame to you. It ain't nothing to be happy about. It ought to bring shame to you. That's why when folk come your way and say, oh, do you remember we used to do this? It should be shame to you. Say, oh, no. Jesus, I was horrible. I was horrible. If anybody deserved death I deserve death. Anybody deserve to be dead if it was me? Great appreciation. That's why we don't run you down in that water. Other folks say, well, we're going to run you down. They join. Come on, run down the water. No, they don't understand. They don't understand what is happening. You're joining yourself with the death of Jesus. You're taking on his blood by what? His death by baptism. You're saying, Lord, I want to become a part of your body. Huh? That means you can't go do what you want to do. I know you got that attitude called self that tries to resurrect itself over and over again. But it is up to you to govern your mind this way. Say, self, you can't do what you want to do. You got to bring your body under subjection. Huh? Come on, to what? To Jesus. You got to say, would Jesus do this? Would Jesus say this? Would Jesus feel this way, right? And if it's not in line with Jesus, you got to say, no. I don't want no part of this. I can't do this. Huh? Say, oh, yes, you can. You can do what you want to do. No, I can't do it. I don't belong to myself anymore. Huh? Say, Elder Scudder, you've been picking up the saints for years. Yes, I have. Why? Because I don't belong to myself anymore. Huh? I try to get other folk to do, but sometimes they struggle. You know, oh, I got to go do this. Oh, I've been saying, no, you ain't got the right attitude. I'll do it myself. I'm trying to give you an opportunity to serve the Lord, but everybody don't want to do it like that. But I'm trying to tell you, before you take your last breath, you better govern yourself with this kind of attitude. You got to serve the Lord with gladness. That's what Elder Scott was trying to get across to you yesterday. You just can't be in here just serving the Lord. You got to serve the Lord with gladness. You got to be glad to be doing what you're doing. Huh? It's not a burden. You got to be glad. Somebody tell you go pick up the trash, pick up the trash. And be glad to do it. Why? Because you realize one day you didn't have no mind to do this. You ain't had no mind to do it. You ain't had no mind to love Jesus. You ain't had no mind to call on Jesus. But now the Lord has given you a mind. And the least you can do is show him that you appreciate him. Huh? How could I show Jesus I appreciate him? By taking care of his body. Huh? Aren't you the Lord's body? And the least I can do is show the Lord I care about him by how I treat you, right? When you be mean to the saints, don't you realize you being mean to Jesus' body? Lord, say something wrong with your brain. Because I ain't never seen somebody who have a toe that hurt that don't nurse that toe. You don't bend your toe and say, ouch, you hurt, I'm going to bend you some more. You grab that toe and you nurture it. Huh? You rub it. You give all the attention to that toe. And I know the other parts of your body saying, why you pay attention to that old toe? Because your brain said, because the toe hurt. Huh? That's when your brain is operating. But I'm trying to tell you, some saints act like their brain ain't operating. Huh? Because they see a part of the body hurting. And instead of nurturing that body, they take their finger and agitate it. Huh? Huh? They irritate the saints. Huh? You ain't helping the saints, you're irritating us. Saints hate to see you open up your mouth. Because instead of you saying something that's going to edify and build up, because your mind ain't right. Huh? Everything the devil put up in your thoughts, you say it. Huh? You say it and you show it. And you don't even realize who you doing it to. He said, oh, I'm just doing it to Mother Best. No, you're not. That ain't Mother Best. That's the Lord's body. Huh? Oh, that's Mother Best. No, that's the Lord's body. How you know? Because she went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Huh? And the Lord claimed ownership. Huh? Come on, not me. The Lord claimed ownership. Huh? He said, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price, right? Huh? That's why I feel sorry. Sometimes I see saints saying all mean things, rolling their eyes at one another, saying to myself, you don't know what you're doing. You setting yourself up for hell because you are on your way to the pit. Because the Lord is not going to let you go back with him. Not hating on his body. You think you're going to be in heaven cutting your eye? Huh? You think heaven is filled with people cutting their eye? You're fooled. Only thing I read about heaven is a whole bunch of hallelujahs. Huh? Worthy is the Lamb. That's all I see. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah, right? Ain't time for no critics. You can't do that. You got to ask the Lord, take away that spirit. Because that's self. That's self-righteous. That's self. You got it in your mind how things should look. How things should go. How things should be said. That's self-righteous. Huh? This is the Lord's body. And he brings into who? He brings in people. Go over to Revelation chapter number 5, verse number 9. I'm going to let y'all go. I ain't even finished up Hebrews. I talked about it, but I ain't even finished up. But I want you to understand when you're in the Lord's body, what you look like. Revelation chapter number 5, what I say? And 9.
And they sang a new song.
Huh? This is what else is going to keep trying to get across to the saints. He's talking about saints understand the importance of praising Jesus. Love to praise the Lord. Why? Why do I need to love to praise the Lord, Elder Scudder? Because it's setting you up to learn a new song. What kind of song? A song you never sung before. Huh? None of us have sung the song that we're going to sing if we make it back with Jesus. You talking about these songs down here get you shouting. But they're only setting you up to give you something else to sing when you get in another body. See, you're only singing these songs because you learned them in this body. But then when you get in that other body, you're going to learn a song that the earth don't know nothing about. Lord, ain't give it to not one gospel artist. Huh? Not one poet has penned the words of this song. That's why the scriptures just simply say it's a what? A new song. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Huh? Keep going.
And they were saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof.
Huh? Come on. Huh? Uh-huh. What does that mean? How you know it's going to be new? Because none of us have been in that position yet. Yeah. We're waiting to get there. Yeah. But if you keep on serving the Lord, there's going to be a day in your existence when you're going to get out of this body and you're going to stand before God himself and you're going to see the book of wrath. Huh? I'm talking about the book of wrath. You're going to see the book of wrath before Jesus and you're going to open up your mouth and say, Jesus, your word. You're worthy to open up that book. Huh? I don't want him to open it up now. Huh? No. I don't want Jesus to open up the book now. Because I'm still on the earth. But when he takes me off the earth, I'm going to say, Jesus, you can do it now. Huh? You're worthy to do what? Open up the book.
Thank you, Jesus.
Whoa. To the inhabitants of the earth. Huh? Woe to them whose names are not found written in the book of life. Huh? Woe to them who have the mark of the beast. Huh? Woe to them who have been fooled by the false prophet. Huh? You see a whole lot of people fooled by Satan. Huh? And he haven't even fully revealed himself yet. Some folks said Donald Trump is the devil. No, he ain't. Whole Barack Obama, he's Satan. Remember when they tried to have those that biblical movies, and it was weird how people be playing in people's minds. They had that fella playing the devil, Satan, that was Barack Obama lookalike. If y'all ever seen that movie, He was in a black robe and everything. Looked just like Barack Obama. And the way they were trying to do it, put it in your mind that Barack Obama was Satan. But it's already been proven. Nope, he's not him. Huh? He's already been in office. Huh? And he's gone. Huh? Come on. Very one you think won't be it. That's the one. But I'm trying to tell you, the church won't be here. Huh? Church won't be here. Where will we be at? We going to be in Revelation 5 and 9. We going to be singing a new song. What new song we going to say? Worthy. Worthy, Lord Jesus. Worthy to do what? Take the book and to open up the seals, right?
And has redeemed us to God by the blood.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Everybody not going to go back with Jesus. Only those that appreciate being what? Redeemed. You got to appreciate the Lord doing what by you. Some folk regret it. Say, oh, no, no, no. I don't want to do all that y'all saying you got to do in the church. Church says you got to do this. I don't want to do all that. I don't agree with all that. Wait, go do what you want to do. At the end of the day, you got your own mind. But I'm trying to tell you, when the Lord calls the roll, your name ain't going to be called. Huh? No, no, no. Your name ain't going to be called because you're having problems down here on earth. What problems do I have? Elder Scudder said, obey them to have a rule over you. Huh? I said, obey them to have a rule over you. And then they tell you to do what? Submit. In other words, you got to get out of what you feel, what you think. You got to say, whatever you say. Amen. Huh? I love to see humble saints. I love to see humble saints. I love to talk with humble saints. Because even when you're correcting them, you say, yes, amen. Yes, sir, amen. They don't give you a whole bunch of lip and attitude. Huh? I'm praying you check yourself too. Don't be that way in front of me and then go back. How do you go out the door and go talk? Because you got to check that stuff. See, submission is not just in front of your pastor, but it's all along. Even when people question, what did he say? What did he do? Whatever he said, we're going to do. Amen. 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 He's doing something for me that I can't do for myself. What? I can't watch my soul. Huh? Lord gave him that authority to do what? Watch my soul. He made him an overseer. Huh? He said, take heed to yourselves. Huh? And the flock over which the Lord had made you and over the Lord made me the overseer, right?
Thank you, Lord.
And when the Lord is through with me doing my job, he'll take me out to earth. Huh? Yes, he will. He'll take you out of the earth. He did Bishop like that. He took him out of the earth. Huh? Okay, how much we prayed, the Lord said, this overseer's job is done. Huh? And he gave the staff to another, right? That's a beautiful thing. And then it didn't matter what Joshua had. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Huh? Now it's your turn. Be courageous, right? Dealing with a group of people that were still stuck on Moses. And Joshua had to look at them. Say, if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord or whatever else, he said, you be the judge. Right. If you're going to serve, you're going to serve Baal and all the other ones, you go ahead and go do your thing. Right. But as for me and my house, yeah, we're going to do what? We're going to serve. Yeah. See, you got to have that kind of attitude. Right. As for me and my house, yeah, we're going to do what? Serve the Lord. Right? Yeah. I mean, them liars, because you got to be careful. They talk a good game. We will serve the Lord too. Right. Huh? Your God is our God. Huh? But all it took was time. Time showed them all to be liars, right? And if that was true in Joshua, they look in Jesus' day. Time showed all of them to be liars. Huh? Because when Jesus was led from judgment hall to judgment hall, not one of his disciples stood up for him. Yet he still did what? Loved him. Huh? Not one of them believed that he was going to rise from the grave. Because when the women went to go prepare the dead body, huh? That means that they were not expecting him to be living. They were going to prepare for a dead body. And when the angel looked at him, he said, he is not here. He is not here. Come see the grave clothes, right? They went back and said, the Lord has risen. Peter and them said, you sound foolish. They said, come and see it. The Lord has risen. And they went on and saw. Still afraid. Said, sir, somebody stole the Lord's body. Huh? That's why they went into the room and shut the doors. Shut the doors and shut the windows. They ain't want no light to get in there. Huh? And I mean, they were cowards. That's what I'm talking about. But I said, the Lord don't give you a spirit of fear. Lord, don't give the saints that. That's not how saints behave themselves. Huh? But that's how they were behaving. Because they were full of fear. And what did the Lord do? He just came right on in. The doors shut and the windows closed. Went to that old Downton Thomas.
Yeah.
Huh? 8 days later.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm not going to believe that I didn't do that. Talking big stuff.
Yeah.
The Lord went right to him and said, reach heaven and touch. Huh? And believe. Huh? That's the truth. That's what I'm going to try and get you. When you get down there on your knees, call Jesus.
Yes.
Open up your mouth and say his name, but
right.
Say it and believe him.
Right.
They don't mean down there, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You don't believe. Believe Jesus.
Right.
Believe the Lord will save your soul.
Right. That's right. Thank you.
Then Thomas said, oh, my Lord God. Jesus, that ain't the kind of faith I'm looking for.
No.
I'm looking for somebody to believe me without seeing me.
Right.
Isn't that the truth? That's why I can say we are blessed. Why? Because we have not seen Jesus. Huh? I'm trying to tell you the extent of your salvation. You got the Holy Ghost without seeing Jesus. Huh? Faith allows you to see the unseen. We say, see him up on the cross. Common sense, mental, the world's wisdom will tell you, you can't see Jesus on no cross. You don't know what he look like. You can't see him. You ain't never seen him before. But witness after witness. Got down there and called Jesus. Believing him. Huh? And every witness that got up. Somebody say, did you see his face? No, I didn't see him. I didn't see his face.
Yeah.
Well, how did you come through with the Holy Ghost? I believe.
Right.
Huh? Looked at that cross and I believed.
Right.
What did you believe when you saw that cross? He was up there dying for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? Out of all the people in the world, it was as though I was the only one. Huh? At the foot of the cross. Huh? At the foot of the cross, calling his name. Huh? Jesus. Jesus. And not just saying Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what? For doing what? Dying. Shedding your blood for who?
Jesus.
And he honored my prayer. Huh? He honored my request. Because he didn't stay on the outside. Huh? He didn't stay on the outside. The one I couldn't see up on the cross. The one that people say I'll never be able to see his face. Huh? The one people ridiculed and talked about. He got up off of that cross and came inside of my mind. Huh? Not just came inside of my mind. He walked all throughout my body. Huh? Walked throughout my whole body. Felt something I ain't never felt before.
Thank you, Lord.
It was called. What did you feel? Jeremiah said it was like fire. But I'm going to just tell you, I felt life.
Hallelujah.
I felt life. Because things that are alive move. I felt life. Huh? He quickened my mortal body. And all it was is I felt life. I got so grateful over something simple like breathing. Huh? I was so grateful to realize that I could breathe and smell. Huh? Life. And I realized the source of life was Jesus. In him, I live. I move. Isn't that something? That's what I tell you. Thank the Lord for the mind. The understanding that you have. To know that you have been bought. We will redeem it. Did you finish reading 5 and 9? I'm sorry.
5 and verse 9.
Yes.
Yes. But I was slain and have redeemed us
by
the blood out of every kindred.
Who going to be in the church? Every kindred. I'm going to be saying, well, how in the world can you see a brother Juan being saved? Because he's a different kindred. And the Lord can call whomever he chooses. Oh, don't you be narrow-minded and just go witness to people that look like you. Go find somebody that you wouldn't normally even talk to and tell them about the goodness of Jesus. You don't know who the Lord has prepared you for. Didn't the Lord draw Philip to the eunuch? Did Philip know the eunuch? But the Lord drew him. And how do you know that worked? Because at the end of that conversation, the eunuch said, here's water. What's hindering me from being what? So that means the Lord had prepared him for that, right? So if that worked in scripture, what about us today? Lord has no respect to person. If we just move ourselves out of the way, the Lord will prepare somebody for you. And you just got to be willing to move yourself out the way and let the Lord do what? Speak through me, Jesus. Lord knows the issues of everyone's heart. Speak through me, Jesus. You get to talking to somebody, they'll break down and start crying. Say, you talking about stuff that I've been having on my mind? Are you some kind of prophet? No. I ain't no prophet. I don't know nothing about you. It's all about your soul. Jesus have died for your soul. He is the only one that knows everything about you. Jesus is the only one that knows everything about who. That's how people, we wonder, say, when you come in here for service, and I be preaching or I talk or I teach, and you say, well, Elder Scudder, that thing been on my mind. It's not me. The Lord knows everything about who you. He knows what you've been praying for. And he just won't use me. Y'all had that witness this morning. The Lord used Deacon. How do you know he used Deacon? Out of the old witness's mouth. She said to herself, I needed to hear that. Why she needed it? That don't mean it. Y'all are missing the big picture. She had a concern that the Lord addressed. And he used whomever. But you got to do what? Move yourself out of the way. And let the Lord do what? Use you. Lord can minister to us many ways. It's not always just with me up here. It's through songs of praise. Sometimes saints get to singing a song. Just a simple word in the song. I begin to move. You say, well, what was about that song? The Lord knew what we needed to hear. He knew that that word was going to resonate in our hearts and our minds. And he takes care of us just like that. That's why he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. He knows everything about you and I. All we have to do is move ourselves out of the way and let the Lord work with us and make us who he desires for us to be. All right? I'm done. Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the Lord's word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus.